The purpose of life isn't meaning, it's peace.
Wow. Now that is a statement that just stops you in your tracks.
It completely flips the script, doesn't it? I mean, we spend so much of our lives obsessing over finding a purpose.
The purpose-driven life.
Yeah.
We want this grand narrative to justify everything. We want meaning. We want legacy. But today, we are diving into a stack of sources that argues we might be chasing the wrong thing entirely.
That the real prize is actually emotional peace.
Exactly. And the roadmap to get there, it looks absolutely nothing like what we think of as traditional therapy.
It really doesn't. We are looking at the life's work, the blog, and the case studies of a man named Clint Matheny.
And his site is called A Therapist's Toolbox for Empowering Emotional Health.
And I think toolbox is the most important word there. It implies something practical, something you can pick up and use, not just a vague philosophical journey.
Right. Usually when we discuss mental health, we're talking about processes and timelines. This feels much more immediate. But before we get into the tools, we have to talk about the man himself.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I was reading through the notes, I had to double check the dates. This is not the bio of a typical psychologist.
No, and understanding his background is, I think, crucial to understanding why his methods are so unconventional. Clint Matheny isn't a lifelong academic.
Not at all.
He's an 80-plus-year-old veteran who joined the U.S. Army just 2 days after his 17th birthday.
2 days. That sets a tone right there. But the part that really seems to inform his whole philosophy is what he did after the Army. He spent almost 40 years as an air traffic controller.
Which has to be one of the most stressful jobs on the planet. I mean, you're managing thousands of human lives in real time.
You can't have a bad day. You can't be distracted by anxiety. You certainly can't spend 10 years on a couch talking about your childhood while planes are circling.
No, you need solutions that work now.
So he brings this high-stakes, efficiency-driven, clear-the-runway kind of mindset into the world of psychology. He calls himself a specialist in brief therapies.
Exactly. And the distinction he draws, and this is really the core theme of our whole deep dive today, is the difference between coping with mental health issues and actually healing them.
I think that's a distinction a lot of us miss. Or maybe we've just accepted that coping is the goal.
Yeah, we assume that if you have anxiety or depression or PTSD, the goal is just management.
Right. You learn to breathe through the panic. You learn to identify triggers. You learn to live with it. You're essentially learning to walk with a limp.
And Matheny challenges that premise entirely. He argues that coping is just symptom management. It's keeping water out of the boat without plugging the hole.
He wants to fix the leg so you can walk normally again.
And he's not just theorizing. The sources are filled with these case studies. Some of them, honestly, sound impossible at first glance, where he claims to resolve decades of trauma in a single session.
Okay, a single session. That sounds like a late night infomercial promise.
It does.
Cure your trauma in 60 minutes. It triggers my skepticism immediately.
And it should. He's aware of that skepticism. But his background is what gives this so much weight. He didn't just stumble into this because he wanted to be a guru. He came to it because he was broken.
So let's get into that unlikely healer origin story. It all started with a specific event during his time as an air traffic controller.
It was early in his career. He witnessed a fatal airline crash. The sources don't get graphic, but they make it very clear this was a catastrophic event.
And for him, watching this happen on his watch, even if it wasn't his fault, it triggered severe PTSD.
And you have to remember, this was decades ago. PTSD wasn't a household term. The support systems just weren't there.
You were just expected to tough it out.
And he suffered for 12 years, 12 years of flashbacks, the weight of that memory. He was coping, but just barely.
So what changed? How did he find a way out of that when doctors couldn't help?
The breakthrough happened in a 1984 workshop. He was introduced to a set of tools, specifically looking at how the brain encodes trauma, that didn't just help him manage it, it cured it.
The PTSD symptoms just vanished.
According to his account, yes. And that sparked a second realization later, in 1996. He was just watching a movie with his 16-year-old son, and boom, he had this sudden realization about repressed childhood trauma.
It's funny how the brain works. You can be in a therapist's office for a year and get nowhere, and then you're eating popcorn and the wall just comes down.
It really highlights that healing is often non-linear. But Matheny didn't just heal himself. He realized his colleagues, all 14,000 of them, were sitting ducks for this kind of stress.
So he co-founded the Critical Incident Stress Management Program for the FAA.
Right. And again, think about that audience. These are analytical people. If you come to them with vague theories about inner vibes, they are going to laugh you out of the room.
He needed a no-nonsense approach.
He explicitly prefers how-to over theories. And that leads us to his critique of mainstream therapy. He argues that traditional talk therapy often involves just rehashing the painful event over and over.
Right. The assumption is that by talking about it, you're getting it out.
But Matheny argues you might just be reinforcing the neural pathway. You're practicing the pain, deepening the groove in the record every time you play it.
So he advocates for a completely different mechanism. What's it called?
Memory reconsolidation.
Okay, we're hearing this term more in neuroscience lately. It sounds complicated.
The blog calls it the biggest psychotherapy breakthrough of the 21st century. The simple version is this. For a long time, we thought long-term memory was permanent. Like a file saved to a read-only disk.
You can look at it, but you can't change it.
But this research shows that's wrong. Under very specific conditions, that file becomes writable again.
And how do you do that?
If you can access the memory and introduce something that contradicts what the brain expects to happen, a prediction error, the brain unlocks it, you can then strip the emotional tag off the memory.
The terror, the shame, the panic.
All of it. You strip it off and save the memory back to the drive. So you still remember the car crash happened, you don't get amnesia, but the visceral reaction, the sweating palms, the racing heart, it's gone. It just becomes a boring fact in your history.
And this is different from, say, CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy.
Very different. CBT is top down. It uses your logic center to try to talk down the emotional brain. It's you telling yourself, I know this spider isn't dangerous.
But your gut is still screaming.
Exactly. Memory reconsolidation is bottom up. It goes straight to the fear center and just turns off the alarm switch.
This also leads into his pretty controversial take on depression. He really goes after the chemical imbalance theory.
He does not mince words there. He cites sources suggesting the serotonin theory was effectively discredited around 2022.
That is a massive debate in the medical community right now.
It is. And we need to be clear. And Matheny is, too. He is not telling people to just flush their medication.
Oh.
But his argument is basically follow the money. He believes the pharmaceutical industry has a vested interest in the chemical imbalance story because it sells pills for a lifetime. He suggests that for many, depression isn't a broken brain factory. It's a symptom of unresolved trauma.
Fix the trauma, and the chemical levels regulate themselves.
That's his premise. And because trauma is so complex, he doesn't rely on just one tool. This is why it's a toolbox.
He has a great quote about that. Magic and miracles are simply the unexplained until understanding turns them into knowledge.
I love that.
So what's in the box? If we aren't just talking, what are we doing?
It's a mix of modalities that all target this reconsolidation process. He lists things like EMDR, brain spotting, NLP, flash therapy, and Ericksonian hypnosis.
And something called clean language, which seems to pop up a lot in his case studies.
A huge one, yeah.
I really want to dive into these case studies because lists of therapies are one thing, but the stories he tells are, well, let's look at the vision case. This one really jumped out at me.
It's one of the most striking examples. There's a post called PTSD took his Vision One session, gave it back.
Wait, psychogenic blindness? That's a real thing.
It is. The brain is an incredible protection machine. If you see something so horrific that your brain decides, I cannot process this, it can literally shut down the visual feed.
So the eye works, but the brain won't display the image.
Exactly. Hardware is fine, the software is bugging out, and Matheny claims he fixed this in one session.
Oh.
By addressing the underlying trauma, not the eyes. He worked with the client to access the specific memory, use these techniques to strip the fear, and the vision just returned.
That is hard to wrap your head around. It feels almost miraculous.
It does. But if you accept the premise that the blindness was a symptom of an emotional wound, then healing the wound should remove the symptom. It's just a different kind of logic.
There's another case that stood out to me because it feels so relatable. The Disney trauma.
Walt Disney Productions caused 23 years of depression and nightmares to a five-year-old.
I feel like everyone has that one scene in a kid's movie that scarred them for life.
Right. Or the donkey scene in Pinocchio. But this is key to Matheny's philosophy. Trauma is subjective. We tend to gatekeep trauma. We think, oh, you weren't in a war, so you don't have real PTSD.
But to a five-year-old, a terrifying scene on a screen is processed as a life or death threat. The brain doesn't know it's a cartoon.
Exactly. And if that fear gets locked in, it stays there. This client had 23 years of nightmares. Matheny used his tools to go back, help the adult brain recontextualize it for the inner child, and the nightmare stopped.
It just validates the idea that if you're hurting, you're hurting, period.
Precisely. Now, let's talk about clean language, because this is a tool he suggests we can all learn from.
The name clean language sounds like he's just trying to stop us from swearing.
It's actually about keeping the therapist's dirt, their own assumptions and metaphors, out of the client's head.
What counts as dirt?
So in a normal conversation, if I say to you, I feel like I'm carrying a heavy load right now, you might say.
Oh, so you're burdened by your job.
I'm trying to relate.
You are, but you just introduced a new concept job that I didn't say. You've dirtied the metaphor. A clean language therapist asks very specific questions using only the client's words.
Oh, interesting.
So if I say heavy load, they would ask, and is there anything else about that heavy load? Or, and where is that heavy load?
It forces the person to look inward rather than just agreeing with the therapist's guess.
It forces the client to explore their own neural architecture. Matheny references a case of major depression treated with clean language where he did a 29-year follow-up.
29 years.
And the depression never came back. The idea is that the client finds their own solution, their own metaphor for healing. When the brain solves its own puzzle, the solution sticks.
That feels like it ties into the 35-word cure story, too.
How 35 words cured my uncle's 53 years of PTSD? It wasn't a magic spell. It was a precise reframing that unlocked the guilt his uncle had been carrying for half a century. It just shows the power of words. It's incredibly empowering. But I can also see how some people might find it threatening. Because if healing can be this fast, why have I been suffering for 10 years?
That's the double-edged sword. Matheny actually addresses this. He talks about laziness being a secret weapon.
I love that title. Why laziness is a secret weapon. I felt very seen.
He reframes laziness not as a character flaw, but as biological efficiency. Your brain is an autopilot system. It wants to do the easiest thing.
So if you have a neural pathway that says stress, eat donuts, your brain will take that path every time because it's a paved highway.
It's not that you're weak, it's that your autopilot is set to that coordinate. So the therapy isn't about fighting the autopilot, it's about reprogramming the destination.
Right.
He uses this concept of emotional autopilot and imperative self-analysis. He challenges you to look at your emotions and ask, is this emotion even mine?
What does that mean? How can an emotion not be mine?
He talks about perceptual positions. So often we're carrying inherited emotions, patterns we learned from our parents that we just assume are who we are.
So I might be anxious not because I'm anxious, but because I learned to run the anxiety program from watching my mother run it.
Exactly. And once you realize it's just a software program, you can uninstall it. That's the hope he offers.
And he wants these tools to be open source. He's not hiding this stuff behind a paywall.
No, and that's part of his mission. He says there's a shortage of qualified professionals. He wants people to be able to cure your fear of flying on their own. He even has a placebo procedure.
How to make your own placebo.
We usually dismiss the placebo effect as fake, but think about what it is. It's the brain releasing real healing chemicals based purely on belief.
So he's asking, why do we need the sugar pill? Why can't we just trigger the mechanism directly?
It's biohacking in its purest form. And look, we should be balanced. He provides crisis resources like the 988 Lifeline. He knows there's a place for intervention. But for the chronic heavy stuff, he's saying, put down the spoon. Here is a wrench.
I like that. We've been trying to dig a tunnel with a teaspoon, and he's pointing out the excavator sitting right there.
And suggesting you might want to learn how to drive it.
Before we wrap up, I want to touch on the meteor story. It felt like a parable for why this kind of rapid healing isn't more well known.
Yes. The meteor that taught me why people stay silent about psychological healing. It's a great little story. He talks about seeing a meteor in broad daylight. A spectacular event.
But he realized if he told people, they'd think he was crazy.
Because meteors belong at night. If you see one at noon, you must be hallucinating. It didn't fit the accepted model of reality.
And he argues that rapid psychological healing is the same.
Exactly. If you tell your friends, I cured my 20-year depression in one afternoon, they will likely doubt you. They'll say, oh, you must be manic, or it'll come back.
We're conditioned to believe that the work has to be hard, that redemption requires suffering. If it's easy, it must be fake.
We view the struggle as a badge of honor. And Matheny is inviting us to just drop that badge. He's saying we stay silent about our miracles because we're afraid of being judged. But by staying silent, we deny other people the knowledge that it is even possible.
That's a powerful thought to leave on. that peace doesn't have to be a struggle. It might just be a perspective shift away.
And a little bit of neural rewiring.
If you want to explore these tools, and there are a lot of them, the source is clintmathany.com. And whether you buy into every single modality or not, the shift from coping to healing is a perspective worth trying on.
Absolutely. Check your own toolbox. Yeah. You might be surprised what you can fix.
Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.
Always a pleasure.
And to you listening, the purpose isn't just meaning. It might just be peace. See you next time.